So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. I hope you're well. I hope everything's going really well. I hope the pigs are all fed and ready to fly. Everything's lined up. All your ducks are in a row. And any other metaphors that I can try and squeeze into today's podcast, I will try and do like a rolling stone gathering no moss. Not a great example. Okay, so how to stop being so upset when tenants don't pay. So this is just something I've implemented literally in the last couple of days. And it's probably, I don't know if it's, well, it's not what you think it is, but it's kind of is. So what would happen is I've got a spreadsheet, and on my spreadsheet, it lists every person who's supposed to pay rent and the date that they're supposed to pay. And generally, it goes very, very well. But every so often, we take on a tenant who just seems to think it's okay not to pay. And then it's my fault that they haven't paid. And how dare I ask him to pay on the date that he's actually paid? Well, it's in a signed tenancy agreement now. So you've got to do what the contract says. Otherwise, there's, you know, consequences that are detailed in that contract, which is nice and fine. We'll send them 25 quid letters all day long, issue Section 8 for 197, and M-call them on 32 days of non-payment. That's fine. I have no issues with doing that. They want to screw up their lives by messing up their financial circumstances, that's perfectly fine by me. But what does upset me is I get to the date, the 24th, let's say, because it is the 24th on this particular tenant, and then his rent doesn't come in. And then I'm like, bastard. And he's done it before, and then he pays like a week or 10 days. And now I'm just like, I tell you what, this is your last chance. We have a three strikes and you're out rule. So we're like, okay, you've done it twice. We're not going to do it again. The first time, he didn't pay for the whole month. So obviously we can't do that much. We have to wait until 32 days before we start eviction, and then he pays. And it's like, you're just taking a piss. So he's done it again, second time. And I said to him, you do it on the 3rd, by the 25th, we are evicting. Section 8, underground, 10, I think it is. Tenants always late. Continually delays payment of rent. It's just not acceptable. But this is what I found. It would upset me. And it's not even a lot of money. It's like £325. And out of the proportion of the income that we get every month from tenancy, it's really a small percentage. So what was annoying me was the fact that on my spreadsheet, I've got all my tenants and my amounts. And then I take that amount and then it gets it gets placed onto my personal cash flow. And I can see my profit and loss every single month. And I can forecast what my profit and loss is going to be for the next 6 to 12 months, which is really awesome. Because now we can plan, you know, so for example, we might be saving, we're in March, aren't we? So we might save, I don't know, £150, £200 a month towards Christmas, because we have to get flights to go into the UK, and then we might go to centre parks, whatever, right? But we allocate enough money each month so that when we get there, we've got the money, it's set aside. This is how you should do your finances, by the way. Because actually, you know, 1,200 quid on centre parks for 3 or 4 days is a lot of money, but not if you save up, you know, £100, £200 a month. It spreads it out quite easily. But him not paying his rent then affects that. And then I have to change my entire spreadsheet. So this is what I was doing. So let's just get some numbers. These are made up numbers. So let's say you're doing £25,000 a month rent coming in. And let's say you've got £5,000 a month clear, free and clear. Let's just say that. So you've got £5,000 a month and you're paying for all your lifestyle and you've got your savings, and then someone doesn't pay. You're like, oh, and then you have to change your whole spreadsheet and it changes your entire outlook. And it was driving me insane, because I'm like, my best laid plans are now being ruined because some cockwomble can't pay his freaking 325 quid rent. Someone at the low end of my tenancies is ruining my cash flow forecast. And anyway, so I'm like, right, not anymore. Now this is the change that we've made. So let's assume we were making £25,000 a month rental income. We've changed it. Because every so often, when you have that many properties, every so often, you're going to have somebody who doesn't pay. Or two people. Or you're going to have a boiler replacement. And, you know, that might be more than your maintenance budget or whatever. You might have two boilers go down. But there's always stuff going on, right? Now, this doesn't matter if you're doing £50,000 a month or £100,000 a month. But this is the change that we've made. I'm making these numbers up, by the way, just so you're totally clear about that. So on that £25,000 a month, if it was me, I would actually not say £25,000 a month is what's expected. I'd say £24,000 a month is what's expected. Okay. Then if someone doesn't pay, I'm still getting my £24,000. So let's say if I don't pay a £600 off the £25,000, right? So now I'm getting £24,400, but in my mind, I'm still getting £24,000, right? So like, at least, so now I'm thinking, brilliant, I'm 400 up, right? Even though the guy's not paid, I'm now thinking, brilliant, I'm 400 up. Totally, totally different on how you see the world. Completely different. Now I'm not thinking of a lack or a loss. I'm thinking, brilliant, I'm up. Because I know that someone's not going to pay their goddamn rent. I know it. It's guaranteed that somebody this month will not pay their rent. And I ended up getting really upset every single month that someone doesn't pay the rent and that it ruins my spreadsheets for the next forecast. Because I can't forecast like that. I can't allocate all the investments that we want to invest and all the holidays that we want to do and all the expenditure that we have. I can't allocate it properly because I don't really know how much is coming in. Of course, my spreadsheet tells me, but people aren't spreadsheets. People are tenants, and tenants don't pay. I nearly swore it. So doing it this way means I now know I've got £24,000. I'm making these numbers up. I've got £24,000 a month coming in. I allocate my spreadsheet based on that. If rents go up, I'm still going to base it on £24,000. If the spreadsheet says 25, I'll base it on 24. And if the spreadsheet says 27, I'll base it on 26.5. And if the spreadsheet says 50, I'll base it on 48. Or whatever those numbers need to be. Maybe 47. So I've got a £3,000 buffer, because when you're doing £50,000 a month, there's more than one tenant not paying per month. Like there's a couple, right? And it doesn't matter. You might have the best systems in the world, but the best systems in the world doesn't stop a tenant from actually paying. There is no guarantee that you're going to get that money every single month from a tenant. There's just no guarantee. One of my biggest learnings in business is that, like, listen to this, right? This is the biggest lesson I could ever tell you, okay? People will let you down. People who work for you, people who you love and love you, tenants, clients, friends of tenants, friends of clients. We had that one guy, and he was taking a 250 quid room. It's our smallest room. Just by far the smallest room. It's 275 it was. And he went back onto his work site, and his foreman said, oh, it's too expensive. But his foreman hadn't seen it. It's £275, all bills included, including Wi-Fi, TV license. And his foreman said, it's too expensive. But go back and renegotiate. He came back to renegotiate. We told him to jog off, and we rented it to somebody else. That's what listening to somebody else gets you, by the way. His foreman, by the way, is still living in his house. His poor guy was now looking for somewhere else to live. Didn't have anywhere to live. Not my problem. So in order for me to not be as upset every month, so this is the first month that we're going to do it. So we've taken a little bit off. So now I've got a set amount. I know how much is coming in. I've got a buffer. And if that comes in, that's great. You know, if let's just assume those numbers at £25,000, and all rent comes in this month, that's brilliant. And that's £25,000. I'm a grand up. I'll take that grand and I'll put it into a savings account so that if next month three tenants don't pay, I've still got a buffer there able to do it, right? So you should have all these separate accounts. You know, you should have an account for maintenance. You should have on your spreadsheet boiler repairs. Like if you've got 50 units in a portfolio, how often do you think a boiler's going to go down? Like, you should be going through, looking at your oldest boiler, okay, and replacing it. And you should be doing that once every 6 months, once every year, whatever those numbers are for you, right? Because it's going to fail at some point. And then you're going to have a £2,500 bang. Whereas, actually, if you allocate the money on your spreadsheet, £100 a month for 12 months, that's £1,200 for a boiler, or maybe £150, there's your £1,800, or maybe £200 a month for a boiler. And if a boiler doesn't go, replace one anyway. Or now you've got a buffer for when a boiler does go. This is how you should be running your property portfolio. Most people don't. We had a client once, and he's like, I've got all these HMOs, and I've got no money, and I don't understand it, because on paper, I'm looking really good. But in reality, I don't know where my money goes. I'm like, have you got a maintenance budget? Like, think about this. Houses are multiple occupation, multi-lets. Have you got a maintenance budget? No. That's where all your money's going. You need a maintenance budget. Allocate £500 a month across the board for all your properties, or £1,000 a month, or £1,500 a month, whatever that's going to be. And if you don't use it all that month, because believe me, you'll be using some of it. We had one yesterday where the radiator at the top of the house in a small room. It was getting warm, but that was it. And it was to do with water pressure, and the boiler is an old boiler. And actually, this is one of the boilers we're going to be replacing using the exact system that we just talked about. And it's the pressure nozzles underneath. Apparently, they've come off. I don't know, it's not in the hard water area. I don't know, they've come off anyway. So that boiler's going to have to get replaced. But so the message comes in from the tenant. We send the plumber around. He goes in and fixes it. He sends us an invoice. We pay it out of our maintenance budget that we have set every single month. And that's how that gets paid down. But this isn't about that. This isn't about maintenance budgets, but you should have one anyway. Probably deserves a podcast all on its own. But this is about how you allocate the money that comes in and where it goes, and understanding that just because you're supposed to get £25,000 down on paper on your spreadsheet, that's not necessarily, you know, you're not an employee where you're on a £2,500 a month. And you get £2,500 whether you close business or you don't. I remember working with my lettings agency. We're having a really quiet month. And I'm like, I'm sitting the sales team down. I'm like, guys, if we don't close business, we don't make payroll. And one of them's like, put the hand up, but that's not fair. And I'm like, fucking telling me it's not fair. I got bills to pay too. You need to close some business. Yeah, but you know, we should be paid regardless. Okay, where's the money coming from? If there's no money in the business, where does it come from unless you're closing business? Believe me, they got a rocket up their ass and they went out and closed some business and were able to make payroll. We've had moments like that. And I know as entrepreneurs, you've had moments like that. I was talking to someone who's done a lot of money, like millions of pounds, like tens of millions of pounds a year. Like he's been 2 hours away from missing payroll and then closes a lot of business in order to hit those. And I've been there too. And I know you've been there as well. It is part of the entrepreneur's journey, I feel. All right, so for me, that's working. Well, we'll see if it's working this month. It should do. It means I can allocate my spreadsheets better. It means I can pay down some of the debt that we've got, some of the mortgage debt, better. And it means that we can allocate the investments that we want to make better. And if that extra money does come in, then that's awesome. It just means we've got a bit of extra cash to play with for next month or the following month or the following month. Or we can go do some extra repairs and that kind of thing. So I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on tomorrow's podcast. My name's Dan Latour. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.